so excited to welcome you to Real Woman, Real Torah, a project of Bacheva Learning Center. We're here to offer you an authentic Torah learning experience, produced for woman, by woman. I hope you enjoy. Thank you so much to ST Kugel for sponsoring today's episode. We are so grateful for your support. Hi, everybody. I'm so excited to welcome Revetson Pavlov. She is the director of She'arim Seminary and a very talented, knowledgeable educator of women for many years. So it's an honor to have you here. Thank you so much for making the time. So you've been, you know, involved in women's education for a long time. And I want to start just by asking you what your primary goals for women's education is. In this podcast series that we're doing, we've been discussing a lot about the original halachic sources behind women's Talmud Torah, what women do or don't have an obligation to study, what potential issues might there be with women's Talmud Torah. So from your perspective, in terms of how you're implementing them this in the modern age, what do you see as, I guess, the primary goals of women's education today?
I think the primary goals is to live a Torah life, to be connected to our Creator and have a relationship with Hashem. It's to know halacha. It's to see the world through a Torah lens and raise a family in that way. So I was lishmor lasod lishakayem and call the whole Torah, to keep everything and to really in your heart and in your head to be in sync with Torah thought and with Hashem's way of looking at the world.
Right, right. And I noticed that in your seminary, you focus a lot on text-based learning. There's a lot of chavrusa learning, there does seem to be a large focus on skill building and sort of independent study. Can you explain why you feel that's important specifically? Because I know not every seminary has that focus.
Correct. Okay. There are many different seminaries and they're all good. So I'll start with that. And everyone caters to a different niche. Yeah. So the people we're catering to have been to university. They're interested in of a more intellectual perspective. They want to touch the text and really understand it from inside. I don't think that works for every person, but the people that come to us, that speaks to them. And also we have a goal besides that, besides educating the women ourselves, is that they should be able to help their children also learn, raise children. Like I always say to them, like, if you at least keep up with your kids till fourth grade, you're doing a good thing. So that's also very important in the text, you know?
Right, right. And you feel like that's important because they're naturally more intellectually curious and that's what they need in order to be stimulated.
Correct. Look, it's not for everybody. Some people don't. Some women I find don't enjoy text, and so it may not be an approach that works for them. They want more, maybe, of the excitement and the fluff and the inspiration. And I guess for the people that come to us, and for me personally, the inspiration comes from the text. Mm-hmm. When I could see an idea in Rashi, or I'm learning something in a Shkaf, I feel like Hashem is speaking right to me.
Right.
And also, I do think there's another big advantage to learning text, and that is it helps us process our own feelings, our own ideas, whereas when you just hear a lecture, you're basically processing somebody else's ideas. Somebody else has already processed it, and now they're feeding it to you. And when you learn it yourself, it becomes yours, and it becomes real.
Right, right. Yeah. Definitely identify with that. So you don't feel this is necessarily an approach that's necessary for everyone. Like not every woman today has to be learning in that way or on that level necessarily.
I mean, I don't believe so. I think that the way our Torah approaches it, women in particular, is women have to learn in order to do. For men, learning itself is a mitzvah. For women, learning in order to do is the mitzvah. And so whatever's going to motivate a person to do Torah, to keep Torah, to think like Torah, that's the kind of education she'd be entitled to. And I think it's great that there are different seminaries with different approaches.
Right.
It gives women choices.
Right. Choices are always good. can you talk a little bit about how you see, you know, I think some people's sort of, I guess, skepticism around higher level Torah study for women is that, you know, their primary role in traditional Judaism is to be like, you know, the foundation of their home, you know, a mother to their children. And some people find that, you know, investing in high level learning can sort of be in conflict to that in some way, or at least, I guess, not necessarily be a big part of their life later on. Can you address that concern?
Look, maybe there was, I think there was a time historically. First of all, historically, most women are great-great-grandmothers, maybe for you, a great-great-great-grandmother, right, were illiterate. And actually, many men were illiterate. Men, boys, when they learned till bar mitzvah, then they went out to work. It was an economic necessity. Women, young girls, rather, didn't learn, and they learned from their mothers, and they learned proper shkafa. Some of them learned to read. Not all of them learned to read. But the masorah, the tradition, was passed from generation to generation, and people had deep emunah, and they kept halacha. But as the world opened up, and we also were opened up to the world, and it became very important that we teach women. That was Sar Schneer's revolution, if you will. And unless we educated women, we were going to lose them. That was what Sar Schneer understood. As things progressed, you know, Sar Schneer was the beginning of the 1900s, but as things progressed and women got secular education, they got university education, they got masters and doctorates and postdoctorates, how could we leave women ignorant when it comes to Judaism when they have a PhD in physics? It doesn't make sense. I should be at least as educated in my life as I am in my profession. And Torah is my life. And my profession is the way I make a living and the way I contribute to the world. But Torah is the way I live and breathe. So it became very necessary, I think, higher women's education. I think there's a time when women have in their life to focus on it. And maybe the time they spend at seminary is the main focus. As they get married and have children, they won't have that time again. So at that point, they won't be learning all day, every day. They'll be learning once a week, twice a week, maybe with a chavrusa, maybe a lecture, maybe online, maybe in person. But even then, it's so important to keep their inspiration alive that they have at least one shiur that speaks to them, and whatever that shiur is.
Right.
Thank God we have a lot of options.
Yeah, thank God. I definitely, I think, you know, we were talking before about people, their, you know, Torah education matching the secular education and being able to have a sense that your Torah is your life and your secular education is how you make a living. I think definitely where your intellectual stimulation lies ends up feeling like that's the most prominent part of your life. So I feel like that's a really important point.
Correct. So if my Torah doesn't keep up with my secular life,
yeah,
then my priorities are mixed up.
Yeah.
Which, you know.
So what do you in terms of your curriculum, like what do you focus on studying specifically? What areas of Torah do you focus on? One question I would pose to you specifically is, you know, in the work that I've done, you know, often we offer halacha courses that sort of explore the background to the halacha and give like women understanding of like how the Torah, you know, how the halacha has evolved through Torah Sheval Peh. And, you know, some people have a challenge to that, which is, you know, will that make women disrespectful of the halacha when sort of, you know, because sometimes knowledge can be too much knowledge can be a bad thing, right? It can make people sort of skeptical of what they're doing. So I'm curious, that's just one example, right, with halacha specifically, but I'm curious of like, I guess, are there, what subjects do you feel are important for the woman in your program to study? And are there subjects that you would sort of be wary of giving them too much exposure to?
I'm not aware of giving too much exposure to anything, to be honest with you, but I am very practical by nature. I'm also intellectual, but also very practical. So I would say the three areas that we focus on are Tanakh and skills in learning Tanakh. And as well, the second one, we focus on Hashkafa, how a Jew sees the world. I always tell my students the most important thing you'll learn in seminary is to change your glasses, because we see the world through our glasses. And the way we Jewish people see the world is through Torah glasses. So hashkafa is very, very important. And the third thing we learn is halacha. When it comes to halacha, there are two ways I think you can approach halacha. One, which I've done in the past, but I'm not doing currently. One is exactly what you said, to approach the halacha as, let's see it inside. Let's see how it evolved. Let's see what's in the sources in the text, which I think for some women is really meaningful. And it creates a relationship with halacha that makes it easier to keep halacha, because I understand how it works. It's not random. But the downside of that is that you cover depth, but you don't cover breadth. And so you can cover a certain amount of halacha, but you're limited because you can limit it on the quantity.
Yeah.
Because you're going deeper. So what I do in Sharim is a different way. And that is, we cover breadth. We cover in the course of a year, all of the halachas that a woman has to know. Look, again, that you're always learning new things, but we cover kashrus and Shabbos and the chagim and what you do when you get up in the morning till what you go do when you go to bed at night, and brachos. And we've opted to cover a lot of halacha. And so in 1 year, they're going to really know halacha pretty well, actually. I find, in general, my students know halacha better than their husbands do, practically speaking. What we do is, as there's a compromise position, is the halacha teacher will teach different opinions in halacha, but he won't teach it inside. So he'll say, well, Rav Moshe says this and Rav Adi Yosef says that. And he'll present different opinions, but at the same time, he'll sort of present what is the mainstream opinion, what do most people do. And even there, I'm based in Israel. So the Piskei Halacha for Chutz La'aretz are very different than the Piskei Halacha for America, for Israel, rather. Israel has a much stricter approach to Halacha. They tend to be more machmir, and or maybe they tend to think what is stricter is the basic Halacha. Whereas abroad, they tend to think that what is more lenient is the basic halacha and everything else is a chuppah. Mm. So I used to have a teacher from Australia who did all his learning in Israel. And so he really taught the Israeli stricter approach. And I found it created shalom bias problems when they got married, because their husbands learned the more chutznik, the more, you know, broad perspective. So when he left and I hired a new teacher from Mexico, I said, please teach the Piskei Halacha of Chutz La'aretz, because most of them are going to live there. Most of their husbands are going to hear that Piskei Halacha. So that's how we teach it today. Right. Also might be interesting to you, we have two different teachers of Halacha. One Ashkenazi, who teaches the Ashkenazi girls, and one Sephardi that teaches the Sephardi girls. Nice. And they both take that same approach of, it is very nice. One of the things I learned is that an Ashkenazi woman will be happy to learn from a Sephardi rabbi, but a Sephardi woman will not accept halacha from an Ashkenazi rabbi. And so they always say, well, I don't know, the Sephardim don't do it that way. Our Sephardic mothers, they don't cover their hair. Well, I still halacha. So having a Sephardi teacher, it actually empowers them to follow their own Masorah, which is great.
Interesting. Very interesting. Huh. Okay.
So that's our general approach. It's different. Okay. You know, I enjoy what you said. I enjoy going into the depth. We have halacha 4 days a week for an hour every day. Cover a lot of ground. But that we don't do the depth that you mentioned.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. There's definitely a trade-off. You have to choose what your focus is. You can't do everything. Yeah. And have there been students in your program who wanted to do that, I guess, wanted to delve more into the background of the halacha, or even studying Gemara for itself, right? Has that ever come up as something that students wanted to do? And
there are definitely students who would prefer to go deep in halacha. They would see the source. I actually started teaching this year a class in women mitzvot, and we do actually look at the sources. And I'll tell you the truth, I'm we're doing tzniut right now, but I find that one source takes a whole hour. You know, like, there's so many questions, so many answers that I'm not going to cover the ground. But in this topic, Dafka, they need to feel a real relationship with it. And so I'm happy to do it that way. As far as learning Gemara, we don't focus on that at all. First of all, most of our students are Balei Tshuva. And so we're catching up to literacy. Our goal is to catch a Balei Tshuva up to 12 years of high school and with an adult hashkafa. So Gemara is out of the picture for us. I also think in general that women relate more to hashkafa. It speaks to them as a way of living more to hashkafa and Tanakh. But if there's a woman who wants to learn Gemara, and that speaks to her, and that's going to bring her closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there are people who say you can do that. It's just not our focus. And most, you know, again, when we used to do that halacha, as you described it, as going into the sources, women would go like this. The rabbi would say, okay, there's this source, and this source, and this source, and this source, and this source. And then they would say, but what are we supposed to do? Because women are very practical. It, for them, halacha isn't an intellectual exercise. It's like, what do I do? Right? And so Gemara is also, it's an intellectual exercise, but it's less about what I do in my practical everyday life. I think most women want that practical approach. Some women want something different.
And I'm curious with, you know, so you said Tanakh, you do a lot of focus on, you know, in-depth study of Tanakh, and what do you see as the primary goal of that? Which is also, in a sense, an intellectual study, right? It's not necessarily directly practical.
Right.
And yeah.
Correct. And by the way, we will bring in Gemara. We'll bring in a Gemara or a Medrash to a Tanakh class or to a Hashkafa class. It's not that we're afraid of it. We're not afraid of it. It's just not our main focus. So what do I see the goal of Tanakh? Look, first of all, there is so much Hashkafa Tanakh. There's the general picture. There's what the Tanakh is saying to me. There's what the Tanakh says about Jewish history and where the Jewish people came from and where we're going. I think the Tanakh is a blueprint for Jewish life, for the last 2,000 years. And that's how I teach it. Very much seeing inside, see what's classic, applying it to my personal life, but also seeing a broader picture of how the Tanakh speaks to today, how it speaks to the newspaper today, the current events of today. Nice. It's a big topic.
And you find that giving them skills to be able to learn it themselves really changes the way they learn it.
Yes, because they understand how it works. Mm. Again, the kind of women that we have want to understand how it works. They want to be literate.
Right.
And they want, yeah. And it's very important to them not to be spoon-fed. It's very important to them to get to ask the questions and find the answers. That's what speaks to them.
Yeah, yeah. So another thing I would ask you is, you know, historically, you know, women weren't learning really on a serious level, at least not, you know, on a communal scale for a long time. And part of it is, you know, cultural and, you know, practical. And part of it is hashkafic, right? I mean, there are sources in the Gemara and things like that do talk about the dangers of women being educated. And I guess the main sort of thread is that, you know, if you know, women don't have an obligation to study Torah for itself. And, you know, sometimes learning something and not learning it properly, you could take it in the wrong way. You can misuse the information. You could be learning it not for the right reasons, right? And I know I hear this a lot today where people talk about, you know, women sort of engaging in Torah studies sort of as an intellectual pursuit, and their motivations aren't necessarily lishma. And I'm curious how you feel about that. Like, is that a concern that we should have practically in terms of the way when we're educating women today? Should we be thinking about intentions, and how much should that be a factor?
Listen, I don't think think since Sarah Schneier, it's been a concern. The opposite. I think that what she picked up, and she had the backing of Gedolei HaDor. She had the backing of the Ger Rebbe. They had the backing of just about everybody, actually. She wouldn't have done it without that. And they understood that women need that. So I don't think I don't think women's Torah study is at all a question of whether it's permissible or not. I think that I think the danger is in not educating them. And that was the big switch. Again, it was only 120 years ago or so, but you're going back to, of course, the Gemara speaks about Nashim Daten Kala, that women's brains work differently. That's probably true. That is true. I mean, probably, Chazal said it. It's true, but it doesn't mean that women can't learn or shouldn't learn. The most what it means is women should learn Gemara, but to not learn Hashkafa and Tanakh and all that, I don't know. I don't think it's applicable today. Look, we have a halacha. The halacha is Eis Lasot Lashem Heferu Terotecha. It's a time to do for Hashem by turning over the Torah. Now, that means that even though there are halachas in place, sometimes in an emergency situation, our great rabbis can change the halacha to meet the occasion. And the two examples I always give my students, by the way, are the writing down of the Torah Shebaal Peh. The oral tradition was meant to be oral, and yet our rabbis did write down the Mishnah and the Gemara as an emergency measure, and it saved the Jewish people. And the second example I always give, by the way, is women's education, which, even though it says in the Gemara women shouldn't learn, you know, it was deemed a necessary thing for us to learn because we live in different times. And so I don't feel the conflict you feel. I mean, I'm hearing the angst in your question. I'm very sure that women should be learning. I don't have any questions. The question people have is about Gemara study. But even there are rabbis who gave it approval for that, including the Lubavitcher Rebbe, including Rav Soloveitchik, Rav Sheber Soloveitchik, and the rabbis who were very against it, like Rav Moshe Feinstein. So, you know, pick your rabbi. whoever you follow. But not everybody's going to say that women should learn Gemara today. Some people will say that, and I think that there are always exceptional people, Rashi's daughters, who learn Gemara. There are always exceptional people who maybe need to do something that other people don't do.
Yeah.
Now that's a dangerous statement. You have to have rabbinic approval for it.
Right. Well, I feel like that's where it becomes very subtle, right? Like, how do you know this is an exceptional person who has the right intentions in mind, or so this is somebody who's just a rebel, right? How do you define the difference?
The one who has the shayla is the real person. Meaning, I don't get to decide for myself, you know, I don't get to decide for myself in halacha anything. So if there's something I want to do, I have to ask a shayla. I have to find out, is this permissible? Or is it permissible for me? You know, is it permissible for me to do this, given my situation? And that goes from, you know, so many different halachas.
Right, right. So I know you're dealing mostly with women who are coming from university, right? And then now coming to seminary to learn Torah for the first time. And I'm curious what your opinion is about, you know, I guess for girls growing up in the FRUM system, being educated by our system, and then often they're going on to get a secular education or a secular career afterwards. What do you feel our goals for our education system within the FRUM community should be? And do you feel like there's changes that need to be made in order to, as you said, you know, have the Torah education match what they're going to be getting in their secular education later on?
So I'll tell you something I consistently hear, by the way, from FFB students. And I do also have FFB students, women who went to Beis Yaakov, also women who went to modern day schools. The consistent thing I hear is we never learned Hashkafa. Consistently. I'll ask a student, it kind of tickles me. I'll ask a student who went to Beis Yaakov, Williamsburg, Beis Yaakov, Toronto, Beis Yaakov, California. And I say, how is Sha'arim different than Beis Yaakov. And they'll say, well, you teach Hashgacha. And I have to say I think that's a tragedy, actually, because women, men, we all need Hashgacha. We all need to know how to look at the world. So I think that is very different. And I think it should be in our school system. It should be, you know, it shouldn't be something we leave until the seminary year in Israel or in New York or whatever. Like, we should grow up with it. You know, do you know what I'm saying? And we should be, Torah isn't a bunch of laws. You know, in Beis Yaakov, they call, when they teach halacha, they call it dinim, rules, right? Rules. But really halacha means walking, going. It's a way of, I'm moving. This is how I'm moving in life. Halacha is what I do when I get up in the morning, what I do at work, what I do when I come home. Do you understand? And so it should be alive. So well, I would like to see that in all education.
Right. And when you teach Hashgacha, also, I'm sure there's Hashgacha being taught informally in all these schools. I'm just curious, are you doing Hashgacha like more from the source? Are you learning, like, what Sfarim are you using? Like, what's the format that you study Hashgacha?
I am doing Hashgacha from the source. But when I say Hashgacha, like, if I say to a day school graduate, what's Mashiach? What does that mean? She has no clue. She can translate it for me. She can say, well, we're waiting for Mashiach to come. Yeah, what is Mashiach going to bring? What's going to happen when he gets here? How is life going to be different? Why are we yearning for that? They have no idea. If you ask them, like, Hashgacha, Pratis, and free will, like, where's the intersection? How does Hashgacha, Pratis work? How does free will work? They have no clue. They know what the words mean. They have no idea. So when you say they're teaching Hashgacha, not sure. Again, everybody knows the words. I'm not sure they know what they mean. So I have a lot of FFB students sitting in my beginner class, and I really mean my beginner class, people who are just starting out, because they miss these basics. What's a neshama? What's a goof? What's the conflict between a neshama and a goof? How do I resolve that? What is life about? Is life about happiness, which the Western world seems to think it is? They don't, you know, no, life is about growth. Life is about process. I don't think they're learning that, actually. It's not about getting it right. Life is about working toward getting it right. It's a process of growth. Does that make sense to you, Adasa?
Yeah, no, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, I definitely. So you're saying it's more like really understanding the philosophy of Judaism. Like, that's something that's really missing. You think that's the key thing that's missing in our education system? Interesting.
Like you can learn a Ramban, and I love Ramban. You can learn a Ramban, and you know you fit in the pasuk. You know, it's very mechanical, and then you have a test on it, and then you know the Ramban, or you could look at the Ramban and say, well, what are the applications for my life? How does that work? What is the Ramban telling me? Because really, the Chumash is Hashem speaking to me. Hashem is speaking to me in the Chumash. In Tefillah, I'm speaking to Hashem. So if Hashem is speaking to me in Chumash, I want to know what he's saying. I want to know what it means. It's not just so much information.
Right.
I get a little passionate.
Yeah, I love it. You could go on. That's amazing. Wow, I think that's a really powerful takeaway, honestly, that's something we'd be focusing more on school. And I agree with you. I definitely see that in a lot of schools, we're teaching a lot of Tanakh and we're teaching a lot of halacha, the do's and the don'ts, and there's, you know, history, but not so much of, like, what is the philosophy of Judaism at its core.
And how do we live? It should be real. Look, I wonder sometimes whether the teachers are trained enough to do that, because they're teaching the way they were taught 20 years ago. And the world is different. It's a different world 20 years ago than it is today. You know? And their teachers taught them like they taught them 20 years ago. And people are different today. Like, that's when you ask the question about women. Like, you can't leave women out today. You just can't. They're living in a world where everything is open to them. And what? Torah's not open to them? That's not normal.
Right. So I'm curious, like, how do you see this practically? Like, what kind of curriculum do you use when you're teaching Hashgacha? How does it Like, what is that, like, I guess, what do you think a teacher can do to really communicate these ideas in a way that resonates with the students today?
I guess it depends what level you're talking about. Are you talking about adult education?
I think high school, adult, maybe even elementary. Yeah, at any level.
Look, I think a person, you have to teach them multiple levels. I think you do have to look at the text and teach people how to learn the text. And then you, and really just how to read a pasuk, how to translate it, how to look at a Rashi, look at a Ramban. But then I think you have to lift it above that. Every lesson should have a take-home message. We're not learning geometry. We're not learning, I don't know, physics. We're learning something that is our life. So when I'm teaching something, whatever it is, I may spend a lot of time on the mechanics of it, but then every lesson has to have a take-home message. I think that's true in every level of education. So there'll be one thing that a person takes home and says, wow, that speaks to me. And that's a Kabbalah I have from one of my great teachers, Rav Chaim Goldwicht, that every lesson has there's no such thing. You know, he was a Rosh Yeshiva, he taught Gemara, but every lesson he said has to have a take-home value, take-home message.
Nice.
So no matter what you're learning. So what do I teach in Hashkafa? Look, sometimes we teach from Svarim, like I like to teach Sichot Musar, which is from Rav Shmuel Levitz of the Mashkiach and the Meir Yeshiva in the last generation. I teach Rav Volba, also a great Rav from the last generation, because they're both very modern. They understand our conflicts, even though they lived, say, 60 years ago, but, you know, it just got worse than 60 years ago, but they really speak to the modern mind. So I do a lot of that. I have a teacher on staff who teaches Derech Hashem, because that's a... Again, people want something deep, and Derech Hashem is very deep. It's profound, and it does speak to people. I have another course more for beginners where I teach basic Hashkafic ideas, like I mentioned before, the 13 principles of faith and what they are and how they work. I actually teach a class in Medrash, which doesn't fit into any of the categories that I gave you, but it's also very philosophical, very... very profound, it's a whole different way of learning, actually, than any of the other subjects I mentioned. But it has a lot of hashkafa, and it's all hashkafa.
Right, right. Interesting. Very cool. So maybe just to close off, just like one final question, what do you think is, I guess, the biggest challenge that women today face in terms of progressing in their Torah learning, making it part of their lives? And what do you think women can do to overcome those challenges?
Well, I think Jewish women today are completely overstressed. I think they have a tremendous amount on their plate. They have a house to run and kids to raise. Most of them have to work besides that. They're running carpool and to birthday parties and everything else that, you know, and they're financially stressed. So I just think they have a ton on their plate. And then somewhere along the line, they have to daven, which a lot of people struggle with. By the way, we also have a class at tefillah. But somewhere along they have to daven. And that's, how do I daven? Get my kids out to school, get to work on time. How does that happen? So that's a big stressor for women. And then once you even open the sitter, how do I even relate to it if it's not alive to me? And then somewhere along the line, you have to fit in self-care. And part of self-care, I think, is learning Torah. Okay, so is it going to be the major part of your day? No, because you're working, you're running, you're raising kids, you're cooking dinner. It's not going to be the major part of your day, but it can be the focus of your week if you have a very good shiur. If you have something that speaks to you, then it's going to carry you through in your thoughts and your actions and just keep your Yiddishkeit alive and growing. But I think that we're really overstressed and overworked today, women. We've taken a lot on ourselves.
Yeah, definitely. I think that is a huge challenge people have, is just having so many conflicting responsibilities. you know, especially once you're raising a family and trying to find a way to like have Torah fit in with that is very challenging.
I mean, I think that one of the things, the good things that happened in the last couple of years is Zoom. I think it really changed women's ability to learn and not leave their house, not have to run another place, but they could still learn. So I teach a number of classes on Zoom, and I never did it before Corona. I never even heard of Zoom before Corona. So I just think that's also presented a lot of new opportunities to anytime. Like there's learning you could fit in while you're cooking, while you're cleaning, while you're, do you know what I'm saying? I listen to a lot of podcasts while I'm doing other things. I'm never alone. I'm always learning something.
Yeah.
It works for me. I don't say that has to work for everybody.
Right, right.
You have to find, every woman has to find what's going to work for her. It's going to ignite her heart, get her mind thinking, and bring her closer to Hashem.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you so much. I appreciate it. Thank you for your time.
My great pleasure. Great pleasure. I wish you hatzlacha with your mission in life, and that you should be zochah. You should really merit to be able to teach Jewish women and help them grow themselves.